Hello and welcome to the Decrypting Crypto Podcast. It's May 2nd, 2024, and this is Off-Chain, your weekly recap of the biggest stories in the crypto space. I'm Matthew Helsbarbie, and after a little week off, you know, a little halving vacation, let's say, I'm back with my partner in crime, Austin Knight. How are you doing, Austin?
I'm doing well, Matt, I guess. I don't know. Bitcoin's looking a little sideways. How are you feeling about that?
Yeah, my portfolio is suitably halved, so I guess the outcome was good. It's, you know, we're trending a bit sideways. It's been my feeling here is generally that one, the halving is, as it always is, priced in, and as we've kind of discussed when we did that deep dive into the typical ways that the cycles play out, we know that, you know, the peak of all of the last cycles came 12 months after the halving. So it doesn't surprise me that it was somewhat of a nothing burger. I think, though, what we are also seeing is our good friend Mr. Jay Powell in the Federal Reserve doing some backtracking on the initial hopium that he gave us of rate reductions coming in June, which is now probably 99.999999% not happening. And you know, people are worried that as I think you pointed out when we did our predictions, which at the time I didn't agree with, that inflation has remained stickier than planned. So we're kind of seeing this all play out, and you know, equities have been suffering a bit. I think the discussion at the FOMC meeting yesterday of like rates higher for longer, softening the tone on like any potential rate hikes, which I just don't think are even feasible at this point anyway, and the shift towards them pushing, well, at least the US Treasury pushing to do some buybacks of treasuries is to reduce down the balance sheet is getting people a little bit more hopeful. So I think we've probably got a little bit more sideways action until maybe the next catalyst around the ETF for ETH at the end of this month reaching a decision.
Hold on tight, man.
Yeah, and I think there's been a lot kind of going on in the space. We're going to be talking about some of that. We're going to be digging into one of my favorite topics that I've been talking about for a long time, which has finally come to fruition, which is the EigenLayer, EigenToken announcement.
I'm actually planning on moving to the UK for a short period of time.
Excellent. That quote will make more sense to everyone as we dig in. But the UK tourism boom of May 10th is going to be a big one. So, you know, it's the anti-Brexit. It's going to be great. Why don't we jump into our first story of the day? The long-awaited announcement from EigenLayer. If you're not familiar with EigenLayer, you have definitely not been listening to the podcast, which leaves me a little inclined to not even explain what it is to spite you there. But it is finally arrived. You know, EigenLayer, the restaking protocol, has now accumulated $14.5 billion in TVL, second only to Lido, which I think it's been pulling TVL away from to a certain extent as well. But they announced that they will be finally launching their EigenToken, giant asterisk over that, via definitely not an airdrop. It's a stake drop. Wow. There we go. New terminology. Who knows what it means? Could it be good? Could it be bad? I don't know, but it's happening on May 10th. So EigenLayer airdrop, and most notably the actual like token launch itself for Eigen. I mean, it's probably the most anticipated airdrop I would make a case for saying ever in crypto. We've had this giant Eigen points farming that's going to continue, that's ultimately helped them collect, you know, this $14.5 billion in TVL. But for all the excitement, wow, there's been some controversy. And we are going to be digging in. It wouldn't be a stake drop, you know, without some controversy. So let's dig in a little bit into some of the mechanics, because I have been really down the rabbit hole here. And one thing that I will just tease out here, I think we're going to need to do like a separate episode just on explaining some of the mechanics of this token, because airdrop to one side, this is a really, really innovative approach to the mechanics of a token. The likes that we have not really ever seen before, at least not to this degree of execution. And I think it's going to change the way that we actually think about how staking and governance-based tokens can play a role in the future. But before we do that, let's get into some of the numbers, right? So I just want to start by telling you the total supply of the token, which is 1,673,646,668.28466. Why am I telling you that, Matt? Does it mean anything? Nope, this is exclusively to just point out what a bunch of nerds the Eigenlayer team are, because this number is just the result of encoding the phrase open innovation into a classic telephone keypad. Austin, if that doesn't make you bullish, I don't know what it does. You know?
There's
a relatively large total supply, somewhat meaningless, as you can tell by the way that they've actually derived it. But let's talk about the airdrop. So 15% of the total supply is being airdropped to restakers, those that restaked their ETH and staked ETH derivatives natively via the Eigenlayer protocol. Early investors are getting 29.5% of the token supply, which I think has been somewhat controversial, when you also factor in that early contributors are getting also 25.5%. So that's quite a lot to the early contributors and investors. That said, I think the 15% of the supply being airdropped to restakers is well above average. I think the average we've kind of seen in the airdrop bonanza so far has probably been in the 5% range. So I think that's really good. The rest of it goes to the community ecosystem fund. So let's talk about how this airdrop is going to be structured. And if you haven't kind of partaken in the airdrop today, don't worry. There is still time to gain some exposure here, because the quote unquote stake drop is going to happen in both seasons and individual phases. So the first season, which is what's happening on May 10th, or at least phase one of season one. It's never easy, is it? This is for anyone that has restaked assets directly with Eigenlayer. This accounts for about 90% of the season one allocation. And the season one allocation of the stake drop accounts for 5% of the total supply. So there's an additional 10% that's going to be stake dropped. I'm never going to get used to saying this. Stake dropped in the future seasons, which, you know, they're yet to be announced the dates, but they are confirmed that they're happening. So in phase one, anyone that's restaked assets directly with Eigenlayer is eligible, and that's up to March 15th. So any of the time that you have been restaking your ETH, pointing your validators at Eigenlayer, or where you've natively restaked like Staked ETH or one of the other liquid staking tokens that they have accepted, that's where you'll be eligible. You can go check your token allocation right now, and you'll be able to claim it on May 10th. Phase two, which accounts for about 10% of this season one allocation, is for those engaging in what they're kind of calling more complex DeFi protocols. So we talked about Pendle a couple of or maybe 3 episodes ago, I think it was. If you were participating in like YT, the yield tokens of some of the liquid restaking tokens, that's where you're going to probably be eligible in phase 2. Same with protocols like Gearbox and otherwise. The reason for this is they just need to work with some of these teams directly to get the allocations correct. These are like complex derivatives. And the beauty of like an open permissionless system is that anyone can build really interesting layers on top of existing protocols like EigenLayer. The challenging part is that, you know, you got to figure out what the hell these teams have actually done to get to the place that they've got to. So they've said, don't worry. I don't think there's any reason to be worried here. There was a lot of FUD initially on crypto Twitter about this, but I think it was just people not being willing to read a paragraph of text. That will all be coming. So I think that's going to be a huge part. Claims for season 1 are going to be open for 120 days. If you were restaking through one of the liquid restaking protocols like EtherFi, which we had Mike on the podcast earlier this year, Puffer, Renzo, blah, 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 loads of them. I'm not going to go through and name all of them. You will also be getting your EigenLayer stake drop. I believe what EigenLayer want to do is deliver that directly to your wallet address versus sending them directly to the liquid restaking protocols to then distribute, hence phase 2, where they're working with them to share addresses. So you'll be able to see all those. That's probably going to be later in May, I imagine. But you'll have 120 days to claim. And again, this accounts for any Eigen points accrued up to March 15th. Then there's going to be season 2. That'll be March 15th to whenever they announce season 2 finishes. Kind of like, you know, we're probably used to these now with things like Blur and all the other different protocols that have been doing these season-based staking to just avoid this giant dump that happens and then all the TVL disappears. But big chunk of the token splice still to be allocated in future seasons. Here's when we get into controversy number 2. So controversy number 1 was people just not reading the text about, you know, phase 2 and like, oh, Pendle and Gearbox users are not going to be included. They are. That, so we've cleared that one up for you. This is where people are losing their mind. So when you initially claim your token, Austin, it will be non-transferable. You will not be able to trade it. It will not be able to transfer out of your wallet. However, it will become transferable in the coming weeks, potentially months. But I did hear Sriram and one of the other founders, which I unfortunately am now forgetting, on the Bankless podcast talk to this. And I think they said, you know, this will be available in the next coming weeks, months, probably not months. But so I get the feeling they're going to try and get this turned around pretty quick. But there's no set date right now. Don't think it's going to be too long. I imagine maybe it's going to be kind of June time, something like that. The reason they want to do this is they want a chance to get the token drop, stake drop, should I say, all right, figure out the mechanics of the token before they then make it transferable. People are losing their mind about this, which I personally don't mind this at all. Eventually, I think it was Arcade was another protocol that did this recently, where they dropped their token. It was initially not transferable, and then when it became transferable, you just, you know, you claimed the liquid token that you could then transfer. What I like about this is a few things. Well, when you're initially claiming a token that has no value, that has its tax benefits as well. So everything shifts to a capital gain after you then claim from there, which is one nice thing that people aren't thinking about. The other nice thing is if they mess things up, this is a whole lot easier to figure out. This is going to be, what I believe, the largest airdrop of all time in crypto by value, mm-hmm. by size. It's going to be huge. And there are some real complexities and new innovations that are happening at the token level and the protocol level that mean, you know, this isn't a straightforward, simple, you know, run-of-the-mill governance token. So I think that's the piece where people are losing their mind again, and it's a little overblown. I'm not sure if you feel too bad about that, Austin.
Oh, man. I mean, it is, you know, I would say generally, it's kind of unnerving to have a token that is non-transferable and then just a little bit of like a trust me bro promise, yeah, true. You know, that you'll be able to eventually transfer it. But I don't know. We'll have to see how it goes. You're right. It's a huge event.
Yeah, it is. And so I think the third piece, and this is where I think there are real reasons to feel a little aggrieved, and this is what you were alluding to at the start of the podcast, which is probably the most controversial piece. The stake drop will not be able to be claimed by anyone in the US, Canada, Australia, a couple of other jurisdictions, and they have also instituted VPN blockers. So,
wow.
Most, I will put the emphasis on most, for all of you US and Canada and Australian users, VPNs will not work here at claiming. And the reason why they've done this is for pretty obvious reasons. Reasons I can really empathize with, especially from my purview at Kraken and understanding regulatory and compliance needs. They want to do this in the most compliant way possible. And going above and beyond to show that they're not just making it easy for people to game the system. So here's the counter argument, though. What they have done is let people from all of these jurisdictions stake their billions of dollars worth of ETH via their protocol, which they have benefited greatly from, without any restriction, without any VPN, and without ever mentioning that these restrictions may even be in place upon the possible event of a token launch. So I think there's a fair few people feeling pretty aggrieved. What I will say is people are going to be able to figure this out. I made a joke on Twitter that, you know, the May 10th UK tourism boom that comes from people flying over just to claim their Eigen airdrop is going to be huge. But the funny thing is, I think that anyone that has travel planned that has a significant stake drop coming from Eigen will probably do this. But that is where people feel a little bit rugged. However, my perspective remains the same on this. I think this is going to be an unstoppable monster of an airdrop, and I think that it's going to command a long-term huge valuation. That, in my opinion, is warranted. You know, people can clip that statement out and show me that back in 12 months. And, you know, if I'm wrong, I'll hold my hands up. But I don't often say this lightly. But let's just take a look at some rough price estimates, right, based on some different FDVs, fully diluted valuations. So I did some napkin math on this, right? So if the Eigen token comes in at a $10 billion FDV, which I think is a very prudent, I would put this at the low end of the estimates for the Eigen token. To give you scale, the largest liquid restaking protocol, right, which is like the layer on top of EigenLayer, so it just doesn't make sense they would ever be any smaller than this, is EtherFi. And they are currently, even with the current market conditions right now, are at a 3.5 billion FDV. And I think that they were at one point close to a 7 billion FDV. So just for scale there. So I think 10 billion is the bear case here. That would be a $5.97 token price. And then if we try to back this in, I've done some math based on the allocation that I've been getting and the number of points I roughly had around the time of March 15th. I've kind of calculated that as a roundabout per Eigen point that you have, around 12 cents per Eigen point. Now, if we go up to like a $15 billion FDV, that goes up to about 18 cents per Eigen point. And then like if we take, you know, what is like the bull case here, a $40 billion FDV, that'd be a token price of $23.90. You're looking at around about 48 cent per Eigen point, which would be really, really beautiful. I'm gonna go out there and say this. I believe that EigenLayer within the first 2 months of it trading will become a top 10 crypto by FDV and market cap in general. If we look at like TON, which is the Telegram token, their FDV is $24 billion. And I think, you know, easily that Eigen can come in on that. I think in the peak of the bull run, if we see some real movement there, it would not surprise me if this thing hits like a $50 billion FDV. Again, not financial advice. I'm just really speculating on where I think this could be a really, not just a valuable token, but a transformative protocol that's going to really accrue a lot of value. So I think this is getting really interesting. I think the bear case is probably around 12 cent per Eigen point. Realistically, I can't see us going out of the gate anything higher than like a 30 billion FDV, which would put us around 36 cent per Eigen point. But who knows? It kind of depends on the conditions here of the market. Now, this is all really exciting. I'm personally really pumped for this. And there's another angle, which I mentioned. I think we need a whole separate episode that we can unpack here. But I'm still trying to get my head around some of the exact mechanics of the Eigen token. But what is really interesting and very much on brand with the Eigen team's overly complex naming conventions, they're referring to the Eigen token as the universal intersubjective work token. So rolls off the tongue, Austin, right? So there is some logic to this, but I think cutting through all of this, the key innovation here that is coming up is the way that the Eigen protocol is going to be able to actually fork the Eigen token in the event of a, I'm trying to remember the exact terminology that they use. I think it's like a subjective,
intersubjective forking protocol.
Intersubjective forking protocol. And what they do though is, right, there's two different types of faults. So like a subjective fault and then an objective fault, right? With objective faults, like we're talking here about, things that can occur where there's a slashing event that's on your staked ETH. And then you have like subjective faults, right? Where maybe like a super majority of validators collude, right? And then it's like, it's more of like a social consensus that we've seen happen in the past, right? Imagine like stuff like this is slightly different, but like the DAO hack from back in like, you know, 2016, and the decision was made to fork the entire Ethereum blockchain. And that's how we ended up with Ethereum Classic. We remember what an absolute mess that was. Well, instead of having to fork an entire chain, what they have built in is this super interesting like dual token mechanic where they have the Eigen token and then a wrapped version, which is like B Eigen. And the high level here is that in occasions where you have these like subjective faults, it can be resolved by actually forking the token, the wrapped token, B Eigen versus the entire chain. And the way that it's done is that someone will contest basically the situation that has come up, and they will stake their B Eigen and say, hey, like, you know, there has been like a subjective fault there. people have colluded, etc. This should be forked. If they are, you know, a bad actor here, they will have their B Eigen taken from them. If there is consensus around this, the B Eigen will then like fork the token so that there's like this additional, almost like social layer that can be layered in. Again, I'm not going to go too deep into this, and I think I'm probably butchering some of the explanation around this at this stage, but it is super interesting the way they're doing this. And I think this is going to become a kind of standard. So there were a couple of protocols that tried to do something similar to this. Aragon is the one that I remember from, I think, 2017, that tried to do like intersubjective forking and didn't quite make this work. This has been built upon, but I think this is going to be super interesting. They released a blog post they released a white paper, and it is just in true Eigen fashion, extremely complex with loads of diagrams that aren't easy to consume, which makes me even more bullish, Austin, on the fact that people are not even going to be able to grasp it. So, but net-net, I think it's going to be a monster of an airdrop. I think a lot of the FUD will kind of get like wiped out a little bit because it will end up okay. I think it will command a big market cap and FDV. And I think that we're going to see a whole new mechanic in this Eigen token that we've never seen before. It's going to be a value add for DeFi.
Exciting. Hey, despite the difficult market, this is actually a big one. You know, I love the boldness of your predictions. Top 10. Let's check up on that.
Oh yeah, hold me accountable. I think we'll check in on that for sure. And I think for these kind of airdrops, when they're successful, it's great for stimulating some liquidity, right? Like people getting this like huge stimulus injection that then will bring liquidity into the market that's kind of needed right now, especially on ETH. So yeah, excited to see what's going on. All right, pause, breather, zoom out from the technicalities of intersubjective forking, and we'll jump into our second story of the day.
CZ, the founder and former CEO of Binance, has been sentenced to 4 months in federal prison. Earlier this week, he received this sentence for violations of anti-money laundering laws. This is something that we've been talking about for quite some time and following. You know, this is wild, right, Matt? Because if you'll recall, the U.S. government was actually seeking 3 years in prison for him. And it turned out that the judge on the case, U.S. Judge Richard Jones, was pretty skeptical of this request. Part of the reason for that is that federal sentencing guidelines would suggest 18 months given the charges. And then CZ cooperated pretty well with the investigation. I think he even was in the UAE at the time when the charges were brought against him, which the UAE doesn't have any kind of extradition agreement with the US, and he still chose to come and turn himself in.
Which, you know, I think it was a clever move. I think, you know, looking at this, 4 months is probably a very good outcome for him and enables him to not have that hanging over him, in all honesty, for the rest of his life.
Yeah. He's also a first-time offender, so that was another thing that the judge mentioned as a consideration. If you look at the case, I think the government was in a pretty weak position here. CZ pled guilty only to failing to set up an adequate money laundering program at Binance rather than to money laundering itself or more serious crimes. And he also agreed to personally pay a $50 million fine, which I guess that sounds like a lot of money, but he's worth $40
billion.
Did he
just Venmo it?
So. Yeah, he paid it in BNB tokens.
Oh, yeah. It's currently worth $5 million now. So, yeah.
And then on top of that, Binance agreed to pay $4.3 billion fine as well. So CZ paid a $50 million fine personally. Binance, the entity, paid a $4.3 billion fine. And then Binance is also going to retain an independent compliance monitor for 3 years to oversee its anti-money laundering systems, which I'm sure will just be so effective. On top of this, another factor in the case is that CZ provided more than 160 letters of support written by his family, friends, and business associates as evidence of his good character. And I guess, you know, typically I would kind of like dismiss that. It's like, I mean, obviously somebody so incredibly famous and for a long time so well regarded in the space. And then also maybe, you know, with some strategic political ties should be able to pull together some evidence of good character. But the judge actually mentioned it, you know, when he was giving the sentencing as part of the rationale behind why he decided to give such a light sentence. I mean, really, you know, even if you put aside the fact that the government was seeking 3 years, I mean, still the guidelines were 18 months and he got four. So it's interesting to me that these letters of support seem to play a role.
Exactly. You didn't see SBF with, you know, people lining up to prove his good character. And I think it was a clever play by CZ here to really, because it could have been very easy for CZ to be characterized in the same ilk as SBF, which I think would be a very, very strong mischaracterization. So I think it was a clever move. You know, Austin,
I mean, I certainly...
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
I think that the prosecutors and the government would have wanted to try to characterize him in that way. But see, what was brought against CZ, I don't know how you felt about this, Matt, but to me, like the charges that were brought against him, it felt more like just sort of this continued vendetta and siege that the U.S. government has been taking against crypto itself. Like, it has more to do with crypto and the space and delegitimizing the space and weakening the space than it did with CZ himself or anything that he really did. Whereas FTX and SBF, that was like, that's a I put that in a completely different category of crime and prosecution. I think that that was a completely legitimate thing for the US government to go after. And, you know, people, even though it looks like it's trending in a positive direction in terms of financial outcomes for people that were harmed by that that event, you know, millions of people were personally affected by that, and huge institutions as well. So it just, it's categorically a different thing. And I don't think that CZ was ever going to be able to be successfully painted in that light, despite how much the prosecution may have wanted to try to do that, because obviously it was very effective in the case of SBF.
Yeah, agreed. And I think, you know, this lets the SEC and others save face. Right. You know, they settled with Binance, but now they get to have a very small victory lap that they also got CZ behind bars. Right. And probably all parties involved are happy here. And so I think that's kind of where this played out. The real thing for me here, Austin, though, is that this only confirms that we live in a simulation. I've seen some amazing tweets on this. I don't know if you have, but
yes.
So CZ infamously would respond to anything he deemed as FUD with the number four. He was sentenced to 4 months in a federal prison. The settlement by Binance was $4 billion. He's worth $40 billion. He was sentenced on the fourth month, 2024. This is like, I'm unraveling something here. I feel I'm in the Illuminati. I've become enlightened to the secrets of life right now. And so it's just, this only happens in crypto. I couldn't have been more happy that he got 4 months exclusively for the memes. And I feel like, you know, CZ has really delivered for us. I want to hope that he decided this was all planned. This was his 4D chess playing out in perfect step, that he planned this moment the whole time to give his Irish exit from the entire industry. But yeah, I think everyone involved is probably feeling okay about this, to be honest. And I think, you know, go ahead.
I mean, I have to imagine CZ feels pretty good about it. And even, you know, during the trial and, you know, prior to when the judge was reading his sentencing, all of the reports were saying that CZ was like, his body language was great. He was super engaged. Anytime he was criticized, he was paying attention. He was making eye contact with people. He was listening and nodding, which I think you could say speaks to, you know, you could say it speaks to his character. You could say it speaks to his poise as a business man and CEO, or it speaks to his confidence as to how the case was going to ultimately go. This is something that, you know, there are some people that are upset about this. For example, Dennis Kelleher, the president and CEO of the financial reform group Better Markets called the decision, quote, an egregious miscarriage of justice that sends exactly the wrong message to criminals worldwide. And he said it's less than a slap on the wrist. I think that depending on how you look at it, you know, that could be a fair thing to say. I mean, it is,
yeah,
like I said, it's a very light sentencing, even with the 18 months guidance.
Definitely. And I think, you know, without all of the actions taken prior to this, most notably the Binance settlement, him willingly stepping down from Binance, him directly coming over to the US without, I know that, you know, the UAE wouldn't extradite him, but making that part as easy as possible for the government in the US, I think all of that gets this light sentence. I was very surprised that it was 4 months, I will still say. I thought he would at minimum be getting a year, you know, and probably a little bit more than that. So I think he's got away with one. I mean, the violations, right, are serious. You know, it takes more than CZ to fail to set up adequate AML programs at Binance, but the buck stops with him. And I can understand why that quote from Dennis Kelleher is coming out, right? Because does it send the right message? I'm not sure. Super important piece, but to be honest, I'm kind of happy that we've drawn a line under this from an industry perspective, and we can start focusing less on all of that kind of news and more on what's actually pushing the space forward now. Because it felt like that was one of the last things hanging over the space. That was like the hangover from, like, you know, the FTX and the Binance push. I mean, we've of course still got the SEC's like onslaught and constant mandate around ETH and otherwise. But I feel like once we get past that, we'll be in a much better place. But
yeah,
I think it's a good stepping stone.
There is an interesting, perhaps cultural, you know, it's a bit of a leap, but I think it tracks a cultural operational observation that could be made here, and how CZ responded to, you know, the case brought against him versus how SBF responded to, you know, his crisis. Obviously, they were different types of crises, but to me, CZ really came off as somebody that's familiar with, you know, dealing with a very powerful and determined state apparatus.
Yeah. Yes, agreed.
And I think that, you know, that shows in how he, obviously he's surrounded by people that know what they're doing and probably advised him on this, but I agree with you. It was a strategic move to assess the situation and say, like, is this something that I can get away with or not? And if the answer is no, then probably the best result is like over compliance and like a huge push to just make me look like the good guy. And then, you know, reduce the sentence as much as possible, as opposed to tweeting out something like one and then disappearing.
Yeah, I would say that as far as responses go, that playbook's not great. So I think that's what we learned from SBF. That was his parting gift to us all, in like the 101 of not how to respond to an onslaught from the SEC and the authorities at large. But anyway, we'll wrap things up. I think we can draw a line under that one. We'll see how the Eigen token launch goes, which I imagine will be next week. Next Friday will be the first phase. So we'll be recording a day before that. So we'll have maybe the following week we can comment on how that goes, along with probably what will follow, a whole host of more stake drops, let's say. Anyway, it's been a pleasure, Austin. See you next week.
See you then, Matt.
The contents of the Decrypting Crypto podcast should not be used and are not intended as investment advice. please do your own due diligence before making any investment, cryptocurrency or otherwise.